Our reading today is from Jesus' encounter with the disciples partway through his ministry. It's from Matthew's Gospel. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went upon a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. And the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come out to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed down into the boat, the wind died down. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I just need to grab the clicker from the back. No, I just need a clicker. Should be around somewhere. So this weekend has been our messy back to harvest weekend. We've had a theme. We've talked about messy love, messy grace, and messy forgiveness. On Friday, the children all made placemats for those that came for their tea. They were individually customized. Some had different verses on them, and the children decorated them. We laminated them. Everyone got one of them. We reminded ourselves that God's love is for everyone. I talked about Mr. Ranking, who was the first vicar here at All Saints, who went to be an army chaplain when he could have lived a very comfortable vicar's life during the war, First World War. But he decided to go and demonstrate God's love. Yesterday morning, we talked about messy grace, how we get things wrong and yet God does amazing things for us. We heard the story of the woman who got dragged in front of Jesus. She'd broken one of the most important promises we can make. She'd broken that promise and she was going to be killed. And Jesus turned the crowds away by saying, "If any of you has never done anything wrong, you can throw a stone at her first." And Jesus didn't throw a stone at her either. We then talked about God's messy forgiveness. And this one really does get messy, because actually God's love isn't messy. God's love is perfect, but it comes to a messy world. God's grace isn't messy, it's perfect, but it comes in to our messy lives. God's forgiveness really gets messy, because God's forgiveness happens there. And there's nothing messier than a cross. And today, we're thinking about life. These are life. These gifts will help people to live. It's an amazing thing to give the gift of life. But I want to just think about those four things again this morning, and to think of them as they relate to us. Love. You know these symbols. If you've seen me driving around the village, or Jackie, if you saw the pictures from my sabbatical last year when I stuck them on the side of my in-law's narrowboat, with permission, I hasten to point out. And they haven't taken them off yet either, so yeah. They're called the four points, but they tie in with our messy weekend. Love. It all starts with God's love. God loves you. Full stop. There are no qualifications to that statement. There are no exemptions to that statement. There is no small print that can make those three words not true. This is not like sky's terms and conditions. This is not like the details of the budget, where you hear one thing in Parliament and you read the book afterwards and it doesn't quite seem to match up. Nothing, but nothing can make those words invalid. It started, you can't really see that because the projector's a bit dim. We'll get a new one soon, I promise. It started with love. God created the universe in love. He created you in love. There's a verse in the Bible, one of the Psalms, it says, "You created me, you knit me together in my mother's womb. Before you were even born, God loved you." He loves you as a parent adores their child. I know quite a lot of you know this, but you know, sometimes we forget it. Sometimes we forget the immensity of God's love. He loves you. 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 He loves all the people I haven't pointed at. And he loves the smelly ones and the rude ones. He loves the group of lads that gave us some hassle on Friday evening. He loves them, and he's loved them since the moment that they were conceived, and he will love them until the very end of their lives and hopefully beyond. It always, always, always has to start with God's love for you and for me and for them. But you know what? Even when it started with love, we read the early part of the Bible and it tells us it started with love. It started with a relationship between God and people. But people decided, you know what? We're going to do it our own way. We know best. Hands up if you know best. Hands up if your other half actually knows best. Hands up if your children think they know best. Yes! I knew we'd get some hands up for that one. We do it our own way. It's a wonderful story. Have you ever tried to take the handlebars off a bike? There's a little nut at the front of the bike, and you unfasten the nut, and if you try and pull the handlebars off at that point, they will not come. There's a story of a lad who spent 2 hours trying to get the handlebars off his bike. He'd loosened the nut, it was rattling, and he kept pulling and pulling. Eventually he said, "Dad." His dad said, "Yes, son." He said, "Can you help?" Dad walked over to the tool bench, picked up a hammer, tapped the nut gently so it dropped, and then lifted the handlebars out. See, there's a locking wedge at the bottom of that nut that locks when you pull it up. You just have to knock it down. We think we know best, but we get things wrong. You get things wrong. I get things wrong. How many of you have ever seen this sight? How many of you have ever caused that sight? Yeah, let's not go there. We get things wrong. As adults, we get things wrong. In our world, we get things wrong. You only have to look at the news over the last few weeks, months, years, it seems even, to see the world is full of people who get it wrong. And we could despair, but remember the first point. God loves you. When you get things wrong, God still loves you. There is nothing you can do that will make God love you any less. The really scandalous thing is there's nothing you can do that will make God love you any more either. We can't earn our way into God's favor. It's free. He loves us. Little ones that have barely started smiling are loved just because they are. God's grace meets us in that. And this is where God's grace finds its most beautiful outworking, on the cross. God loves you. You get things wrong, but Jesus died to put it right. Didn't expect that slide today, did you? Think it's about, is it 94 days till Christmas now or something like that? Or is it less than that? I usually red card people that do things like that, but do you know what? You can't talk about the cross unless you talk about the manger. You can't talk about Jesus dying for us unless you talk about Jesus living for us. You can't talk about God's rescue plan without talking about a God who left the glory of heaven and became a baby, who grew up, who fell over, who skinned his knee. A God who was like you and me. And who allowed himself to be nailed to a cross. Because somehow in that act, and I still don't understand that fully, somehow he took the blame for all that I had done and that you've done. All those things that went wrong, all the blame was dealt with there. All the consequences, the eternal consequences, are dealt with there. God loves you. You get things wrong. Jesus died to put it right. Yesterday, in our messy forgiveness session, we made bread. We're going to use that bread that we made to share communion in just a few moments. We crushed grapes to make grape juice. We didn't use our feet. But we're not going to use that grape juice today, because if you've ever crushed a grape and drunk juice the following day, you will discover that the process of turning grapes into wine starts very, very quickly, and the intervening stage is not something you would want to drink. Jesus took bread and wine to talk to his disciples about the cross. Jesus died to put it right. But it didn't end there. The Christian faith doesn't end up with a dead man on a cross. It ends with an empty tomb and a man who is alive forever. It isn't just about doing the right thing here. It's not just about living life according to a set of rules. It's about a life that starts now and doesn't ever end. This body will wear out. Some of your bodies are wearing out faster than mine are. Some of you have still got quite healthy bodies. But one day, for all of us, this body will wear out. That promises that we will never die. Jesus said, "He who believes in me, those who believe in me, will never die, but will have a life that lasts forever." Messy life needs messy love, messy grace, and messy forgiveness. But it needs a decision. What are we going to do? What do we do in response to the great love that God has for us? What are we going to do in response to the gifts that God gives us, even though we don't deserve it? What are we going to do in response to a man who was willing to do that in order to set us free? I found this picture last year when I was on my sabbatical. It's not entirely clear on the screen, but it's what Peter saw from under the water. as Jesus reaches down into the water to lift him up. Are you willing to get out of the boat? Are you willing to take a step of faith and see if Jesus' promises are true? Because you see, what happened first with Peter was he walked on water. People always tell me that Peter sank. No, 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 Peter walked on water first. He sank a bit later on, and those of us who've been Christians for a little while know what it feels like to sink. But do you know the most wonderful word in the whole Bible? It happened twice in our reading today. Immediately. Now, God might not sort out the situations that we're in immediately, but he will be with us immediately, because he never leaves us. God reaches out to us. How many of you have seen Disney's Aladdin? Yeah? The scene where Aladdin's on the magic carpet and he flies up to Jasmine's window balcony and he says, do you want to come for a ride? And she goes, oh, I don't know. And he goes, do you trust me? That's what God's saying to you this morning. Do you trust me? For those who are a bit older, what's this film? The Matrix. The Matrix is a film. A man is working in his office. The life is just as we would see it. And a curious man comes to see him and holds out two pills, a red pill and a blue pill. And this man says to our hero, who's not really a hero, he's just an ordinary person, if you take the red pill, I think I've got this the right way around. If you take the red pill, life will just carry on as it is. Go back to work. Everything will be just as it is now. But if you take the blue pill, you'll find out what life is really like. And our hero takes the blue pill and actually enters into a world that's horrible. God's offering you the same choice, but the red pill is carry on living life the way you live life. It's a free choice we all have to live life our way. But if you take the blue pill, actually what you'll discover is a life in all its fullness, a life that's richer and deeper and stronger and wider and more love-filled than anything else you've ever known. I took the blue pill when I was 16. I've never regretted my choice. Are you going to make a choice today? Are you going to choose to walk upon the waters?